Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is July 15th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope everyone enjoyed their weekend. So I'm going to combine podcasts today and might do so going forward for the next couple of months, but we'll see how this plays out. So it's a mad, mad world, ladies and gentlemen, and that should be the title of every day's episode, but I try to switch it up here. You know how it is. So we're going to talk about some politics. We're going to talk about some economics, some what's going on in the markets. So the S&P closed up 53 cents. Whoa, Nelly. The Dow gained 27 points. The NASDAQ gained 14. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, lost 8 points. Dow Jones Transport shed 0.3%. And the New York Stock Exchange was flat for the day. The markets did rally at the end of the day, clearly not by much. But nevertheless, that was the trend. The Russell 2000 was low for most of the day, and that's where it remained. We have oil remaining where it was last week, slightly lower, nothing to write home about, still in a range, fighting the geopolitical tensions of what's transpiring in the Middle East, coupled with a slowing global economy, so you have the supply-demand functions playing out. You also have the U.S. dollar, which has been weakening slightly over the past couple of weeks as well, which has been putting upward pressure on the price of oil, so we will continue to monitor. Gold is at $1,415 an ounce. Silver is at $15.36 an ounce. Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury is down slightly, now yielding 2.092%. And the VIX, the volatility index, gained 2% and is trading at $12.68. So some of the news that broke earlier was in regards to GDP from China. And it is the slowest level of growth in 27 years. This is no surprise to us here at the Capital News. We are in the midst of a slowing global economy. That includes China. And China could very well prove to be front and center. China could very well prove to be one of the catalysts that kickstarts this major economic slowdown. Not just a minor slowdown, but a major slowdown. We are awash in funny money. In the United States, in China, Japan, Europe, Australia, Canada. We're going to talk about this more, but we've been talking about this for several months since this podcast has been on the air. This is what central bankers are doing. This is what they want. This is what central and federal governments around the world want. They want to kick the can down the road. Nobody wants to be a leader. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to raise taxes, but instead we'll print money. That's inflation. Inflation is a hidden tax. You don't get to vote on it. Central bankers just have their way with all of us. And we're supposed to be thankful. This is akin, and I have to give this credit where credit is due. This is from Jim Grant. He is somebody, one of the few people that I will listen to when they are on the news or if they write an article. But Jim Grant is the editor-in-chief of Grant's Interest Rate Observer. It's a newsletter. And basically he says that the Federal Reserve acts as both the arsonist and the firefighter, which is a brilliant way of explaining exactly what the Federal Reserve and other central banks do. Another analogy I've heard from someone is basically they break your legs, but then they give you crutches, and we're supposed to be thankful. We're not supposed to be thankful. You follow this podcast. Two main things we always talk about here that needs to be front and center is the abolishment of the Federal Reserve and of the income tax. It has to happen. You want to start solving problems? You got to get rid of those two things. Otherwise, it's all noise. And that's what we're going to talk about here today is some of this noise because it's a distraction, especially when we talk about the politics of the news over the last week and really over this weekend and continuing today. But we have China, so we're going to focus on this for another couple minutes. Because who other than Donny Boy, Thunder Thumbs, Twitter-in-Chief, Commander-in-Chief, President of the United States, Donald Trump, taking to Twitter to basically tell the world that China is slowing down because of him. Because he's the tariff man. It's the slowest economic growth in 27 years because we are involved in a trade war. That has little to do with it. If you look at the economic underlying fundamentals that exist within China, they are the bubble of bubbles. You look at their graphs, you look at their charts, you look at their data, and most of their data is manipulated too. But they can't hide all this nonsense either. That's how bad it is. It will come home to roost, like it will come home to roost everywhere else. People thought the Japanese had the magic formula 20, 30 years ago. Now look at them. They've been a stagnant economy for 20 or 30 years. Can China, can they buck that? Sure they can. Sure they can. But are they going to dodge it entirely? No way. Not a chance. They will continue to kick their can as far down the road as possible. All that will do is make the inevitable correction that much worse, which is exactly what everybody else is doing at the same exact time. You have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, it was only a decade ago when the world was in the midst of the great financial crisis, the Great Recession. Who was able to pretty much pull the world out of that, especially emerging markets? China, because of all of their infrastructure spending, all of the construction they were engaged in. Well, they're saturated now. They have ghost towns. They have cities the size of Manhattan vacant. This is real. This is happening. We talked about that one statistic a couple of months ago, and I don't remember it entirely, but it was basically the Chinese have used more concrete within the last 5 years than the United States used in the entirety of the 20th century. Think about that for a second. That's insanity. That is what kept the world moving along for the last decade. That is what has kept the Australian economy in particular above water and out of recession for the past 20, 30 years. Well, that's coming home to roost now because there is nobody else in the world that can pick up the slack for what China is now, is giving up on, basically. There's nothing else they can do. Where else are you going to find it? It's not going to be here in the United States. It's definitely not Europe. It's not going to be in Africa. It's not going to be in South America. Russia can't do it. India can't even do it with 1.2 billion people in India. They can't even do it because they don't even have the infrastructure to begin infrastructure spending in projects. That's how bad off they are. And they don't have the same type of government that China has. Thank God. So there's different maneuvers, different ways that they would have to approach their economic growth, that is India. So there's nobody who's going to just start buying up all of the world's commodities, all of the oil, all of the copper, all of the aluminum, all of the iron ore. China did that. They're running low. And now we're all going to feel that unwinding. It is a global process. It's the interconnectedness of everything. So Donald Trump is out there patting himself on the back, taking credit for China's slowdown. Unbelievable. But basically saying that China wants to make a deal. He hopes we can make a deal. But they are not helping us. Remember, we talked about this last week. Donald Trump coming out, praising Mexico for sending troops to the southern border, their southern border, keeping illegal immigrants out of Mexico so they can't make their way up through the southern border of the United States, praising them, they're keeping up their end of the bargain. Not so much for China. Interesting. Something we predicted here, something we warned about and cautioned about here for the past couple of months on the Capitol News. The president says one thing, and now the Chinese are going to start coming out and saying another. Who do we believe? Do we believe either side? It's all propaganda at the end of the day. We were strung along for several months that we were going to have a historic, fantastic deal with the Chinese. Didn't happen. Now we're in the midst of an escalating trade war. There's now a truce. What were some of those bargaining chips for this truce? Well, a company that we deemed a national security threat, Huawei Technologies, well, yeah, we're going to continue to sell some things to them. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. And China, you're going to have to start buying more of our products. That's not happening, folks. It's not happening, especially agricultural products. Remember all the soybeans, the wheat, the corn? Not happening. I have a short article here from Yahoo Finance. Exports to China have not picked up. The dollar amount of wheat and corn that China has purchased since the G20 summit is zero. Zero. Not a typo. Zero. There have been no exports of either of those two agricultural commodities to China, according to the latest Department of Agricultural data covering the period up to July 4th. Exports of cattle hides and pork have also dropped since the G20 summit. Now, that's not to say that all things have declined. There has been some that have increased. There are other things. Beef has increased. Some cotton has increased. But nothing that overwhelms and overcomes the decline in soybeans, corn, and wheat. But don't worry, Donald Trump is subsidizing. He is bailing out the farmers. They don't want a handout, but they don't want to go out of business either. You know, the president said that trade wars were easy. He's a great negotiator. Yada, yada, yada. We know the story. Negotiating with construction managers and general contractors and subcontractors, people who want to work, and you're just beating them up on the price and seeing how low they'll go, is completely different, entirely different than trading and negotiating with an up-and-coming superpower. And doing it unilaterally. We don't have the Europeans on our side. I mean, it could have been a 1-2 punch. The two largest economies, the European Union and the United States, piling up and jumping on China, saying, look, okay, you're most definitely an economic engine. We respect you. This can be a win-win-win all the way around. You got to cut some of these things out. Got to open some of these markets up. And you agree with a way to do it. That could have been achieved. Perhaps the president and his team can still achieve that. I truly hope that they can. I grow more and more skeptical every day because we were jerked around for several months being promised the moon and we got nothing. So we're going to have to wait and see. The president is hopeful, but China is not living up to their end of the bargain. And this is exactly what I said. So they're basically playing Donald Trump. Will he increase tariffs if they don't start buying more products? Because another thing that Donald Trump continues to say is, it's okay, we're not in any hurry, because he loves tariffs. He's the tariff man. And the United States is bringing in billions and billions and billions of dollars from China, which of course is not true. That's not how tariffs work. Importers pay the tax, and they either eat that so their margins get squeezed, or they pass it on to the consumer, or some combination thereof. That's how they work. Period. Stop. End of story. Nevertheless, the president says the United States Treasury is getting filled with billions and billions of dollars. This is the greatest U.S. economy in the history of our country. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, interestingly, then why do we have Steven Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, coming out, issuing a warning to Congress saying, look, you guys, you got to get together and you got to vote to raise the debt ceiling because we're running out of cash. Unbelievable, isn't it? You couldn't write this because the White House is right next to the Treasury Department, right in Washington, D.C., 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, right next to each other. You got the White House, you got the Treasury Department. Now, there's other offices, obviously, with the Treasury Department. It's a big department. The IRS is a huge department that falls under the Treasury Department, but you got the building right next to each other. You got to be close to the money. You got to be close to the money man. Well, what's he saying? We're running out of money. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The president just said this is the greatest economy ever. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars from all of these fantastic tariffs. And here you have the Treasury Secretary coming out and saying, Congress, you need to raise the debt ceiling because we're running out of money? Are you kidding me? How can it be both ways? How can it be the greatest economy in the world, and then yet we have to tell the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates and to embark on another round of quantitative easing? The very problems that caused the Great Recession. Unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, boy. So that's that. So we'll see what happens with the debt ceiling. Of course, it will be voted on. Of course, it will be extended. Because that's really the main talking point of today's podcast. Because we are living in the world of distractions. We have distractions regarding the trade war being an excuse as to why the economy, the global economy, is slowing down. No. The global economy is slowing down for a whole bunch of reasons that we talk about here all the time. The trade war is a convenient excuse, and it's running out of steam. But one of the stories that I want to talk about briefly, because I'm tired of hearing about it already, because it's a complete distraction. Didn't need to happen, and of course you probably know what I'm talking about. It's what's been on the news all weekend, it's been on the news all day today, and it will continue to be on the news, I would imagine, for the remainder of this week, unless, of course, something breaking happens. But I am talking about President Donald Trump once again taking to Twitter, calling out a few congresswomen who are new to Congress, one of them being AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't want to give this woman more attention than what she already has. I don't want to give the other women more attention than what they already have, because their policies for this country are terrible. I do not support them. I don't care for them. However, I don't care for the president either coming out to distract everybody with this ridiculousness. Okay, if they want to criticize the United States of America, they're free to do so as Americans, as congresswomen, as anybody. Just like Donald Trump criticized this country when he was running for the presidency of the United States. Make America great again. I mean, in order to do that, there are things that you have to criticize. A lot of the things that he was criticizing, I agreed with. Front and center was the Federal Reserve. Main reason I voted for him, and the hopes that he would shake things up, and because there was no way in hell I was voting for Hillary Clinton. Now he's the president. Same boss, new boss, same as the old boss. Federal Reserve, you guys were creating a bubble before, when it was Obama, but now I'm president and everything's fantastic, go ahead and cut interest rates. See, this is the problem, guys. If you're a Democrat, you thought Obama could do no wrong. Most people still think that. If you're a Republican and you're in Trump's base, he can do no wrong. That's the problem, because the national debt continues to go up. And here we are talking about these stories between the president and four junior congresswomen who may or may not like this country, who have some really bad ideas, but guess what? They're free to have those bad ideas, and people are free to vote for them, surprising as it is, and they're free to vote them out of office. But the president, this is distraction. This country is divided enough as it is. You know, the president made a comment. Go back to where you came from. If you don't like it here, leave. Now, of course, that first statement, go back to where you came from, is being called a dog whistle for white nationalists, for racists, all that type of stuff. Par for the course. That's what you expect from the mainstream media. That's what you expect to hear from Democrats, because everything is about race. Should the president have said this? No, because it's dividing the country further. It's just another thing for the anti-Trumpers to point to and say, look, he's a racist. That's what racists say. He's a white supremacist. It's a dog whistle, blah, blah, blah. He didn't have to give them this low-hanging fruit. Didn't have to do it. At all. They were going after each other. These four nutbags were going after Nancy Pelosi. There was political infighting on the Democrat side, and the president has to inject himself into the middle of this because Donnie Boy needs to be the center of attention, evidently. Calling him out. People see this. These women have gotten their 15 minutes. 15 minutes too many. You're giving them more airtime. They don't need it. Don't give it to them. People know who they are. They've seen them. They're not involved in these national elections. They're not running for president of the United States. They're in their districts. Clearly, they're socialists there. They're lunatics in those districts. Enough to vote for them over whoever else they were up against. Go back to where you came from. If you don't like it here, leave. I agree with that, by the way, with that last part. If you don't like it here, leave. I might leave. I'm getting fed up with this system. We're overtaxed. Everything keeps going up. Your main cost of living keep going up. Political infighting. Nothing getting done. Fraud on Wall Street. Fraud in Washington, D.C. Nobody goes to jail. And it's all being funded with my tax dollars. What kind of system is this? A couple weeks ago, we were talking about the July 4th. Remember I read some parts of the Declaration of Independence? There needs to be another revolution in this country. The 21st century Declaration of Independence needs to be written. And it needs to be signed by more than 50 people. Because this is beyond ridiculous. We have almost $23 trillion in debt and growing. We have Social Security. We have Medicare running amok. Who's talking about these issues? Nobody. Nobody. We have the Federal Reserve getting ready to cut interest rates. And they probably will embark on another round of quantitative easing at some point. Will they call it quantitative easing is the question. They might come up with some other stupid name to trick everybody with. But it'll be the same thing. It'll be debt monetization. It'll be throwing more liquidity into the market that's already oversaturated to cause more people to make stupid moves that they otherwise wouldn't have made. But they got the free money. So they're going to take the risk. Of course, if they win, they get the profits. But if they lose, guess who's flipping the bill? All right, that's you and me again. That's how it works in today's system. This is not the United States of America. This is not Washington's America. This is not Jefferson's America. This is not Adams, Madison, Monroe. I don't know what country this is, but it is not the United States of America. I can tell you that. Not even close. Not even close. We are distracted with this pettiness. We need leadership. We need the President of the United States to rise above this crap, because that's what it is. He needs to address these major issues that are facing this nation. He needs to, if it was good enough for him to have an Oval Office setting where he had his televised appearance, his address to the nation in regards to the southern border, illegal immigration, the drugs, human trafficking, sex trafficking, all that stuff that we talk about here, and we applaud the president for bringing this front and center, but this is not a tier one issue in this country. But nevertheless, if it was good enough for the president to have that type of setting, that type of address to the American people, he needs to do another one to unite this country. He needs to start with himself. He needs to say, enough of this, even from me. Even from me. I have to tone it down. I have to stop this outright because we have major issues facing this country. Even things that should get done on a bipartisan level are not being done. They're not being done. We thought that there might be some infrastructure spending, some, because it's needed, because it's been ignored like everything else has been. We thought that might get done, but then, nope. Nancy Pelosi had to make a comment. Donald Trump didn't like it. He had to fight back. Chuck Schumer comes in the middle of it, and now nothing's getting done. And now we are in the midst, getting further along in the 2020 presidential campaign. This is basically a lame duck session for another year. So all we're going to get now is further distraction because nothing's going to get done. This is a true shame. We have generations of people who are suffering. You have young people who can't get out from under their student loan debt, not starting families, not getting married, not buying houses because they can't afford to do so. You have older Americans are now involved in what is being termed the gray, because of the gray hair, gray economy. We have a lot of older people who are retired, who are now leaving retirement and getting back into the workforce because they can't afford to retire. There's no question that some of them got bored looking for something to do, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But a lot of them simply cannot afford to retire, so they have to come back in. You have young people who can't find a job, even though they are educated with a college degree. You have people working 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet, and we're told jobs, jobs, jobs. We're told this is the greatest economy ever. It's not even close. You don't have to work 2 or 3 jobs just to make ends meet if this is such a fantastic economy. You don't have to leave retirement to come back to work to make ends meet if this is such a fantastic economy. You know, another thing I want to talk about, not here necessarily today, because it's going to involve a little bit more research, but a couple of articles I read last week were regarding this trade war, some of the tariffs placed on Chinese steel, and what that has done to U.S. steel. Well, immediately there was an increase in prices. What happens when producers see an increase in the price? They start to produce more. What happens when you start to produce more, but the demand slows down because you're in a slowing global economy? Oops, made a mistake. Now prices are going to come back down because there's nobody to buy it. Why do you think we talk about the price of copper here? Why do you think we talk about the price of aluminum? Why do you think it's been going down for as long as it has been? Because we've got a slowing global economy. If I remember correctly from this article, U.S. steel, since these tariffs have been placed, U.S. steel has lost nearly 70% of its market cap. Is that winning? You know, the president, he's the king of PR. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's your decision. But the man is good at it. And when some of those plants from U.S. steel were turning on, he was there. Those jobs are coming back, baby. Did he tell you last month U.S. Steel idled two of those plants? Of course not. Did he tell you back in December of 2018 that that was one of the worst Decembers for the stock market? Nearly since the Great Depression? Of course not. But he told you to buy the dip after he sent his Treasury Secretary out to meet the largest banks on Wall Street, the Plunge Protection Team. Did he tell you to sell short or get out of the market? Nope. But by the dips, will he tell you to get out of the market when this thing goes down again? Probably not. Did he tell you that just a couple months ago, the stock market went through one of the worst Mays ever in decades? No. But was he quick to tell you that June was one of the best in decades? Sure was. Sure was. Patting himself on the back. Thank you, Mr. President. You would think the market has rallied. If you look at June of 2018, because that was the highs in some of those indices. From June of 2018 to where we are today, we're only up a few percentage points. That's 18 months. That's no fantastic rally. It's because we experienced a major sell-off in last December, which is very likely going to happen again at some point. But it's going to have to be against all odds, because you have a president who is trying to prop this stock market up at all costs because he's obsessed with it, talks about it all the time. You have the Federal Reserve and other central banks around the world don't want to take responsibility for another market sell-off. So here they come, printing more money, trying to flood the markets with cheap, fake money to make everything look okay when it's not. Markets are supposed to find fair value. That's all I'm asking for. I am going to start doing videos because you guys have to see what I'm talking about. Because if you think this is sustainable, and you're entitled to your opinion, you're entitled to your analysis, but I think anybody who looks at a lot of this data that I look at on a daily basis, if you find it sustainable, I think you're crazy. Not even close. But there's always smart people on both sides of the trade. I could very much be wrong. I always admit that. But you know, you got to stay focused, because it's something to focus on. This drama, this stupid drama with stupid people, when we have real problems that need to be addressed. And nobody's talking about them, nobody's taking them seriously. Let's just continue to kick the can down the road and pretend it doesn't even exist. People need to wake up. We need a declaration of independence in the 21st century. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.